Welcome back to Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio and streaming online at www.ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got another live session for you today. My guests in the JPR studios, The Lonely Wild. Welcome, you guys. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you for having us.
You guys consider yourselves and call yourselves an LA band, yet from what I have read, none of you are actually from LA, and only one of you is even from California. Is that right?
Well, actually, two of us are from California. I grew up in Northern California in Sonoma, and so did Ryan. We're not in Sonoma, but he grew up in Northern California as well. Then we have Andrew over here from Missouri, Springfield, Missouri.
Hello.
And Jesse's from Indiana.
So how did you meet if you are from scattered all over the country?
Ryan, Andrew, and I all met in college, actually. Ryan and I used to play in another band that kind of broke up a couple years ago and started writing some new tunes. And Andrew had moved to New York after college, then moved back to L.A. So he's been all over the place.
And Jesse, you were in another band at the time, right?
Yes.
Your own band.
Yep.
And how much longer did you stay with them after starting to play with these guys?
Not long, I think, because we went on tour almost right away. I think I was only in the band for like 2 months and we hit the road. So when I came back, things started to, you know, dissipate a little with the other band. So
how long were you guys playing together before you became The Lonely Wild?
Yeah, maybe a couple months. I think we did a couple shows,
like two shows
without a name. Yeah, and then we...
How does that work? How do you...
We just played it under my name.
Okay, all right.
And then it was like Andrew and Friends kind of thing.
And where did the band name end up coming from?
There's no real special story to it. It just kind of... I came up with it one day, brought it to the table, and everybody seemed to like it. It kind of clicked.
The Lonely Wild are my guests live in the JPR studios. Their newest album is called The Sun As It Comes. As you will hear, it brings in a lot of different influences into one musical style. How about we start with the tune? What are you guys going to play first for us?
This is a song called Keep Us Whole.
Keep us whole. It's The Lonely Wild, live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're also streaming online at www.ijpr.org. The new album is called The Sun As It Comes. So after the tune, I've got to ask, L.A. does not seem like the kind of place that fosters a twangy, high lonesome Midwestern sound. Where does that influence come from in your music?
I think a lot of it comes from Ennio Morricone is definitely a big influence, and kind of that cinematic presence in his music was definitely an influence on our sound. And L.A. really is kind of a melting pot of sorts. There's tons of different cultures, tons of different types of music there, and it definitely has the cinematic element in L.A. as well. But that desert landscape and all of that can be found in Southern California too.
I was going to ask if any or all of you are Ennio Morricone fans.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that incredibly easy to identify sound.
Right.
It just sort of sounds like a gunslinger, you know, walking to a duel. And you guys definitely have that in a number of your tunes. Your EP that came out a while back, Dead End, was recorded, released in 2011. Is that right?
Correct.
But yet there was a radio campaign, a push to non-commercial radio for that EP not that long ago. And then all of a sudden there's a full length. So you must have been working on this stuff kind of around the same time, some of the songs?
Some of the songs actually from the full length were written around the same time as the EP, yeah. We put out the EP ourselves and then recently picked up some steam with radio promotion and whatnot, and they kind of wanted to reintroduce us to, most of the country hadn't really heard us, so kind of give people a taste of what we had done and then unleash the new album.
So they went back to that EP just to get a few songs back out there in preparation for the full length. Is it true that you guys funded the whole process of putting the new record out by yourselves?
We did.
That's got to be satisfying. I mean, it stressful but satisfying?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to pick and choose what's most important, and we're definitely under some time constraints in terms of like studio time and whatnot, but I think in the end it yielded a really really good product. You know, it made us, we had to work for it and push ourselves a lot.
Did you go the Kickstarter route, or how did you do funding for it?
No, we just did it all ourselves.
The checkbook.
Yeah. We
But there was one weird thing that I came across. You guys sold books for a while?
Oh, yeah. So we didn't do a Kickstarter campaign, but we did do a kind of an elaborate pre-sale campaign where we would offer different tiered packages of, like one of them, the one you were talking about was a $50 package that had, I think, a record, a DVD of some live stuff, and a personal book from a band member's library, and then with a personal little message about what that book meant to them and why they're passing it on.
And this time we did, instead of the book, we did the vinyl from one of our library's collection.
Not a Lonely Wild album, but an album owned by a member of Lonely Wild.
In addition to our Lonely Wild
vinyl
album.
Yeah.
So for 15 lucky people, they would get our album, and then they'd get another album that we liked that we thought they would enjoy. So we wanted to give away good albums that, you know, that they would enjoy, but, you know, we also didn't want to part ways with a lot of our albums that we already like.
Which most of which could be replaced now that vinyl has a comeback.
Yeah.
But still, some of them were probably picked up at a memorable time or were given or things like that. So how long did that process last? How much did you get rid of?
We capped it at 15 because we didn't want to give away too many. And it sold out pretty quick. So,
and you guys had kind of an interesting experience happen in the recording process for this album, too. You were recording and making the album in Sacramento, and you had to switch engineers right in the middle of the process?
We received the unfortunate news a couple days into the session that our engineer's father had passed away, which was, you know, obviously devastating to him, and he had to leave the session. And we kind of didn't know how to proceed because when you're recording with someone, you kind of get into a rhythm. We were working really well together, and so we were, you know, even considering packing up and going back to LA. But you know, we decided we had already booked this time. We'd all taken time off work. We made the trip up here. We had been kind of living there for a few days, so. We talked to the studio owner, and they brought in a new guy who was fantastic, but we learned about halfway through the day that this was his first time doing a session by himself.
Oh, wow.
So it was a little rocky at first, but you know, he was a trooper, and he pulled some 16, 18, and 24-hour days with us to get it done. He hung in there with us. And
there's a lot of figuring it out as we went along, but I think that helped the album, actually, with... keeping us up all hours of the morning and exhaustion. And I think you can hear a little bit of that in the album.
Were there things that turned out differently than the way you think they would have turned out with the original engineer?
You never know.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
It's just all the magic of the luck of the draw of the studio. Sometimes there's magical moments that happen and you don't know how they happen, but they just did. I think we got a lot of
those. We had a pretty clear vision of what we wanted it to sound like going into the studio. We had done some extensive demoing. Another thing you have to do when you're on a tight budget is you have a game plan where you need to knock out while you're there. You can't spend a whole lot of time just kind of writing songs or making stuff up in the studio. But like Ryan said, there is that element of magic, little mistakes or unexpected things that come up and just, you know, turns it into a new, something unintended, but a new product.
And where'd the name of the album come from? The Sun As It Comes?
It's the name of one of the songs, actually.
Is there a story to the song?
The song was written about, I wrote it at the time when what's, I guess, been dubbed the Arab Spring was starting to happen in Egypt. And it looked anyway at the time like a very hopeful moment for everyone in the region. And a lot of the songs are personal on the record. A lot of them are more social. And I thought it just kind of encompassed a lot of the mood of the album itself. And kind of like a new day is dawning.
The Lonely Wilder, my guest, live in the JPR studios. The new album is called The Sun As It Comes. Can we hear another tune?
Of course.
What do you want to play next?
Play a song called Closer Than the Needle.
Thank you. Hold me closer, I am real. Fill the emptiness you feel. We feel. We feel.
Closer Than the Needle, that is live music from The Lonely Wild here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Their new album is called The Sun As It Comes. You know, a good segue out of that tune, because a lot of the songs on your album tend to start off kind of mellow for a little while. And by the end, they tend to be pretty raucous. Is there a comfort zone for you guys as a band, or perhaps more accurately, is there a comfort volume level for you guys as a band that you feel best in?
Well, this is actually definitely the most stripped down as we get here. Our drummer actually isn't here with us today, but we do like to get loud. You know, I really like to have a really broad range of dynamics, having really quiet songs, loud songs, and, you know, everything in between. But it does get tough to play. We play mostly bars and stuff like that, so a song like Closer Than the Needle doesn't translate too well at those venues. So I don't know if we write for the space that we're playing in, but definitely it always helps to get people's attention when you play really loud.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned being stripped down here in the studio, and we've got a fair bit of gear in here, but one thing that is absent here in the live session that is very present on the album is a pair of trumpets. Where did that idea come from? Did you just have, you know, members of the band that were trumpet players, or did you really think about incorporating trumpet into the sound?
Ryan and I are both trumpet players, though he was writing trumpet parts before I was even in the band for the songs.
Yeah, one day Jesse, shortly after she joined the band, informs us, like, oh yeah, I play trumpet too. Oh, you've been holding out on us for
right. Yeah,
so we started writing songs with two trumpets.
Well, actually, I think we wrote Everything You Need, which called for two trumpets, and I was like, I don't know how, we'll figure out how to do it live later. Let's just do what we want to do, and we can record it, and we'll, you know, if we had to bring on other people occasionally, that'll be fine. And Jesse's like, oh, I play trumpet. I've been playing trumpet for 10 years.
Since fourth grade, more than 10 years.
You know, holding out on us.
Who writes the songs in the band? How do the songs get crafted?
I usually come to the band with a demo. I'll write things out, and then bring it to the table. We kind of talk about it. So far, everybody's liked just about everything I think I've presented. There haven't been any...
as far as you know.
Yeah.
How much do they change between the time you bring in the demo and the time you have a, quote, finished product?
It varies from song to song, but usually it stays pretty true to the original idea. It's more just like style or tone, or, you know, Shiner's very particular about his guitar tones and whatnot, and so we'll figure out things like that, and he'll add his little flourishes and flares here and there, but it usually stays pretty true to the original concept.
As a band, you guys ended up having a pretty good early fan in Nick Harcourt down in the L.A. area. What kind of influence does L.A. airplay have for you? Is it immediate, or is it a slow build?
It has been kind of a slow build. Oh, well, it was a whole lot of nothing, and then we started getting some airplay now with the new record out. We did actually get some early support from KXLU, which is a great college station as well. But yeah, we played a, there's a music site or blog, I guess, out in LA called LA Buzz Bands. Kevin Bronson runs a show on KCSN up there as well, or down there rather. And Nick Harcourt happened to see us at a show, liked what he heard, and then booked us opening for Damien Rice at this place called Hotel Cafe. And then from then, he's stayed in contact with us and has been a good advocate of our music.
Nice. Now, you guys have done South by Southwest as well?
Yeah.
Did you go this year?
We did indeed.
How many shows did you guys have to do?
Nine.
I mean, we did nine in 6 days, yeah.
And this was our first official year, being an official part of the showcase.
How do you manage energy level and focus when you're doing nine shows in 6 days?
We have to discipline ourselves, no staying out late, drinking, and going to see the other bands, which, you know, isn't as fun, I guess, because we wanted to see the music.
Are they short sets? Do you do short sets? Or
yeah, they're usually... I heard one person refer to it as speed dating for bands. You get up there, it's like you got 10 minutes to set up all your gear, you play for half an hour, and then you get the heck off the stage, and then you mm-hmm. run to your next gig and do the same thing. So they're short sets, but yeah, you just got to lay low, not to talk, try not to sit in loud bars talking at the top of your lungs because you just lose your voice after a while. But
tell me about your touring now. Are you guys primarily doing tours up and down the West Coast, or are you managing to get back east also?
Yeah, this is the end of a run of a week-long tour we did up to Seattle and back. Then we have a week off, and then we head out and do the rest of the country for all of the month of May. We'll be on the road.
Playing with different bands, or?
Yeah, playing with different bands just about every night, and going as far as New York and East Coast, Midwest, South, back down to, hopefully, I think we're going to hit Austin again, too. So
mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, we'll be covering a lot of miles in about 30 days.
Are there plans to get back into the studio at some point in the next year? I mean, I know that often by the time an album comes out, these are songs that you guys have lived with for quite a while.
Yeah. Hopefully, the goal is to be back in the studio by the winter or late fall. Have almost an album's worth of material ready to go. So, got to kind of fine-tune it all and get back into the
you
studio.
You laugh. Why?
We've been itching to play these new songs, you know. But we've had to focus on the album release.
Right, right.
We're all dying to get going.
The Lonely Wilder, my guest, live in the JPR studios. The new album is called The Sun As It Comes. Guys, thanks so much for being here and taking time out of a lengthy drive. Pretty much most of the length of Interstate 5 in one day, right?
Yeah.
All right, what are you going to go out with today?
We're going to close with another pretty mellow tune. It's called Over the Hill, which is the last song on the record.
Tired voice.
few friends here, and I ain't rushing off to hear what history's got to say.
That's The Lonely Wild live on open air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Also online at ijpr.org. We will have pictures from today's live session and the audio posted to our Facebook page at our homepage at ijpr.org later this afternoon. Guys, thanks so much for stopping and being our guest here at Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
Good luck with the new album and on the national tour.
Thank you very much.